At this last 3.5 years, if you don't worship the beast, you are on the death list. Jesus is saying it's going to be tribulation and they will kill you. Satan is pouring out his fury against the woman, Israel, his fury against Christ and his followers.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today you'll continue your look at the end times spoken of by our Lord in Matthew chapter 24. And the fact is, this is a hard portion of Scripture to grasp.
You know, Dave, it really is. And yet we want to divide the word accurately and we want to bring it clearly to help people understand. But with this in mind, we're certainly going to need to put on our thinking caps and ask the Lord to help us understand what is being said. Our text is Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 to 14.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
God will sovereignly raise up in this 7 years 144,000 Jewish believers and seals them, protects them for a time. They are those, Revelation 14 and 7, who follow the Lamb. They follow Christ. We also see in Revelation 14, the supernatural proclamation of the gospel during God's time of wrath. And turn there for a second, because you need to see this. God is doing supernatural things to proclaim his truth, and man is still rejecting it. Revelation chapter 14. This is after this 144,000 are introduced again with the Lord in victory, as we see on the Mount of Olives. Revelation 14, verse 6. John writes, "And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice," and here's the gospel he gives, by the way, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water." Not only do you have these 144,000 who God has raised up and saved, sharing the truth, and people, not a lot, but people being saved in this tribulation time, you have even a supernatural angel proclaiming the gospel to everyone on earth. So that's the answer there, how we have believers in this tribulation period. We also see in Revelation 11 the two witnesses who are testifying and prophesying in that last 3.5 years of the tribulation. So then, this last 7 year tribulation starts out with the church removed, no believers, but God sovereignly brings forth his gospel. There are those who respond, and it is these who testify and spread the truth of Christ and his imminent judgment. Back to our passage. Jesus is speaking to those in this tribulation period, those who are saved, and he is telling them that the signs of his coming, these birth pangs, are wars and rumors of wars, and earthquakes and famines. Now, we see that reality in Revelation 6 in those first seal judgments. God's judgment is beginning to be poured out on the earth, but it is starting out slow, and it is increasing. There is armed conflict. There are wars. There are famines. There are earthquakes. It is increasing, but they're just the birth pangs of God's judgment to be poured out. And that leads us to our passage today where we see really, truly the content and reality of the horror of this tribulation, even for those who come to faith during this time. Back to Matthew chapter 24. If you look at verse 8, he says, "But all these things are merely the beginning," not birth pangs, but the beginning of birth pangs. Then notice verse 9, our passage. "Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all the nations on account of my name." Verse 9 begins with the word then, i.e. after these start of the birth pangs. After people are trying to mislead you, all these false Christs, after this context in which you are hearing of wars and rumors of wars, after there are these famines and earthquakes, after these birth pangs, then things change. they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. Now, who's the they there? We're going to see that as we look at it. Who is he saying? Who is the they? Well, we know the you are these believing Jews of this time, as we've seen in the last few weeks. They will deliver you, or they will hand you over to tribulation and will kill you. This is an overview of the intensity of the tribulation for believing Jews. They will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. That's a summary of what it will be like for Jewish believers in the tribulation. The term tribulation speaks of outward pressure. It speaks of intense distress or pressure, almost universally in the context of persecution. So there's this tribulation, there's this persecution. They'll be delivered over to it. You'll be handed over to it. And then he says, and will kill you. Or literally, they will kill you. Can't get much worse than that, right? But we know that Jesus says, don't fear those who kill the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell, right? And the context is in this, Matthew chapter 10. I believe we have a summary of what's going to happen to Jewish believers during the tribulation period. This is a summary of what is going to happen to them. It will be characterized by Jewish believers being persecuted unto death. That's what he's saying. The tribulation and persecution will be at the hands, as we will see, under the Gentiles and under Jews. We're going to see the Lord share both of these things. There will come a point where these birth pangs become more and more and more, and then there will be tribulation. They will be delivered to tribulation and unto death. This will characterize the time immediately preceding the coming of Jesus Christ. This is what it's going to be like. It's going to be a lot of death for those who know Christ. Verse 9, then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all the nations. Notice the you and the nations. They're Jews. You will be hated by all the nations on account of my name. Folks, this completely falls into the pattern in which we see in Scripture concerning this 7-year tribulation and what the Antichrist will do during this time. Now again, I'm going to share a lot of Scripture and a lot of passages. Just ask God to help you understand what He wants you to understand. Well, you'll hear it again and again. But remember, in Daniel chapter 9, we had the Antichrist making a covenant with Israel, letting them do their sacrifices. This is the beginning of this 7-year tribulation. And evidently, things are okay for this first 3.5 years. Israel is hearing about wars. There's famines and earthquakes, but it's birth pangs. It's not that bad yet. But yet it's going to get bad, because midway through, the Antichrist ceases to allow them to make their sacrifices. We saw that Daniel 9:27, the abomination of desolation. We see it in Daniel chapter 12, as we read earlier. And we see in 2 Thessalonians 2, we'll look at this next week, that in the middle of this tribulation, the Antichrist, this abomination of desolation, will come into the temple. He will declare himself to be God. Now, why does all this happen at this middle point, these 3.5 years into this tribulation time? Why does it happen then? Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 12 for a minute. And we're going to walk through Revelation 12 and 13 like we did when we studied it. And I wanted to give you a couple of verses, but I just can't explain it without walking through the whole passage. So we're going to walk through it together in Revelation chapter 12 and 13. Now, if you were with us for our Revelation study, you are well aware that we have the introduction of Revelation, which is Christ is coming in the clouds. Revelation is about the King coming back in glory. He is coming quickly. It is about King Jesus coming back. And we see those present tense at that time, letters to the churches in chapters 2 to 3. We see then from that point, it moves into the things that shall take place. There are the things that were, the things that are, and the things that shall shortly take place. And then in Revelation chapter 5 to 11, we have God's judgment upon those who dwell on the earth. It is not focused on the supernatural, satanic. There is some satanic activity, but that portion between chapters 5 and 11 are God's judgment against those who dwell on the earth. We have the 7 seals, and in that last seal we have the 7 trumpets with the 3 rows within the last trumpet. And then we have Christ coming again in glory in the end of chapter 11. then we have a parallel picture from a different viewpoint from chapters 12 to 20, where we see that it is God's judgment against Satan, the beast, the false prophet, the followers of the beast, and the harlot. And so chapter 12 is the introduction of Satan in relationship to Israel. And then it shows God's judgment ultimately towards him. And then introduces the beast also. Chapter 12, let's take a look at it. I'm going to go through it really quickly. We spent weeks in our study on it. So if it doesn't make sense, just let it go by and grasp what you can. Ask God to help you understand it. I can't explain every portion of it, but I want to explain some of it. Revelation chapter 12. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. This represents Israel. I don't have time to explain it. That's what it represents. And she was with child. So speaking of Christ. And she cried out, being in labor and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, if you get into Revelation and we go to chapter 17 and we look at other places, the 7 heads, this dragon, Satan, he's the one who has been in charge of all the world empires forever. He is the God of this world. If you go to Revelation chapter 17, you see that these 7 heads speak of those empires from start to finish that he has ruled and will reign over. There were 5 at that time that were done, 1 that is, and 1 that was to come. We see, and I'll just read those off for you very quickly in this. There was Egypt and Assyria. Then the time of Daniel, you had Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. Those were the 5 who have fallen. And you had Rome, 1 that is, and then 1 that would be like Rome, 1 that would come again. And that's those 7 heads. The 10 horns we'll see are those 10 nations that are in this last portion. And with his head were 7 diadems, that speaks of crowns. And his tail swept away 1/3 of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. That speaks of Satan's fall. And the dragon stood before the woman. Notice this is Satan introduced in relationship to Israel and Christ. That's all the focus is here. He is being introduced. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Remember Herod? That's exactly what Satan was doing. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. We see Christ in relationship to Israel. He was to rule with a rod of iron. He is to reign. And notice it says, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That's his ascension. It's a summary. And then we see, he says, and the woman fled. Now we have the woman in relationship to Satan again. We have God's plan. He's talking about Israel in relationship to this first period, and then this last statement has to do with this last week of years. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God that she might be nourished for 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years, and we'll see what that means in a minute. Okay, and then verse 7. Now we get into this portion concerning what Satan is doing at this time. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. Michael's name means who is like God. His name means he's giving God all the glory in his name, even that. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. Satan has access to heaven right now. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the one who has been thrown down to earth, but he has access. But there will be a time where he is thrown out for good. And that's what this is talking about. He says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, power, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accused them before our God day and night. I believe we will be there saying this. And they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and not loving their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. This is the middle of the tribulation. Satan is thrown out of heaven, and at this point he comes to earth. He has a little time left, and he is furious, and he persecutes the woman, that is the Jews, right? And he says, and two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman in order that she may fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time, times, and a half a time. That's 3.5 years if you look in Daniel, from the presence of the serpent. So we have what we're going to see next week. As the Lord shares in Matthew, when you see the abomination of desolation in the holy place, let the reader understand, you need to get out of there. Don't even turn back. Get out of there. And God has prepared a place to protect Israel sovereignly if they follow His commands. And the serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that it might cause her to be swept away with a flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured forth out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. God will sovereignly, as we will see next week, protect Israel as a nation in those last 3.5 years. But yet Satan is enraged and he goes after the rest of her offspring, those believing Jews, and we'll see believers and Gentiles also who are persecuted. Now we come into Revelation 13 and the Antichrist is introduced. And he, now some translations say, and I stood on the seashore, speaking as if it was John speaking. Those are bad translations. It's he. This is speaking of the dragon. And he stood on the sand of the seashore. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems. The difference here is Satan's got the 7 heads with the 7 diadems. He's been in control of all the 7 world empires that will ever be. Now you have this person who is identified with him, but there's a slight variance. His diadems are on the horns, which means he's the one who will be in charge of those 10 nations. Now again, let it go by you. Don't worry about it. But that's what it's talking about. And we see here in this context, he says, and 10 horns and 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Now, he's talking about the stuff you see back in Daniel chapter 7. All those empires after Daniel, which were wicked, he's saying this last one is like all of them put together. Okay, and then he goes on. He says, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. In the middle of the tribulation, Satan is cast out of heaven for good. He is enraged. He goes to persecute Israel. That's when he stands up in the sanctuary, claims himself to be God. He's made a deal with them in advance. They're hearing of wars. They're not affected. Now they are being affected. And this is the point where they are going to be killed. He gives this man, and it's the number of a man, 666 at the end of 13, says it is the number of a man. It is a man. It is the Antichrist. It is the abomination of desolation. And Satan gives him for the last 3.5 years all of his power and authority. And that's what we're seeing here. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound had been healed. And all the earth was amazed and followed after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Well, remember Michael's name, who is like God? Well, this is who is like the beast. See, they're blasphemous. Who is like the beast who is able to wage war with him? And there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies and authority to act for, look at this, 42 months. That's 3.5 years. This is the end of that 7 years. He has full control in that last 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Jesus is saying back in our passage, you will experience tribulation and they will kill you. That's what he's saying. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, and everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with a sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. Then he talks about another beast coming up. This is the false prophet. He's coming up from the land. He's Jewish. Land is Jewish. Sea is Gentile. We see him coming up here. He's performing great signs. And you look down in verse 15. And there was given to him great breath to the image of the beast. That image of the beast might even speak and cause as many who do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. At this last 3.5 years, if you don't worship the beast, you are on the death list. Jesus is saying this tribulation for you is going to be tribulation, and they will kill you. That's what is going on. Satan is pouring out his fury against the woman, Israel, his fury against Christ, ultimately, his fury against his followers. And so we have many who will die during this time for their testimony in Christ. Look back a little in Revelation 6, verse 9. This is when it starts to get bad. You had the first five seals in Revelation 6, which are not that bad judgments. They could almost be seen as things that people would say Mother Nature did. But it is increasing. They are the beginning of birth pangs. Revelation 6, 9. And when he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain. Why? Because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. Remember that. And the same thing in Revelation 20, verse 4. He says, and I saw the thrones and they who sat upon it, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. Those who had not worshiped the beast or his image, those who had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And he goes on to say that's the first resurrection. Here we have the testimony of these who held to the word of God and to Christ. And it wasn't just their speaking of Jesus. It was a demonstration of their obedience to Christ. Back to Revelation 14. This is our last hop around here. Revelation 14, verse 12. A lot of people speak of Jesus. Not many people obey Jesus. And we see that the two go together in the life of a true believer, especially in the context of severe persecution. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God, or commands, ontally, the commands of God. That's his word. And their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, from the deeds, for their deeds follow with them. Those who give a testimony of Christ in this context are those who are obedient and trust in Him. The tribulation will be characterized, as Jesus said so simply, and they will kill you. That's what He says. We see back in chapter 10 that the Lord says to those disciples, don't worry about what you're going to say when you're brought up. It's not something to tell you not to prepare. He's saying, ultimately, don't worry, don't worry. The Spirit will give you the words at that moment. So indeed, they are being persecuted for their testimony of Christ. Back to our passage in Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. That is what this last 3.5 years, this great tribulation, will be characterized by: the martyrdom and death of true believers in Jesus Christ.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's message, since Jesus is telling a Jewish audience about their future, not the future of the church, how are we supposed to apply it to us?
You know, Dave, we know that all Scripture is profitable, and even these verses, although they're speaking for future events that will affect the Jews, we can apply these principles to our lives today. And so here's just one application from the passage. We should always be prepared to graciously stand for Christ, no matter what the cost. You see, whether it's being ridiculed in the workplace, a loss of friendship, or rejection by family, you see, we need to be prepared to respond in a humble, gracious, righteous way as the Lord would lead us in those difficult situations. So I pray, whatever you're going through, that you would take a stand in the context of righteousness, not in an ugly way, but in a gracious, righteous, godly way, that you'll be encouraged that the Lord is with you as you trust Him and obey Him.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question: has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Yeah.